Well, welcome back, dolls. You are in for a treat on today's episode because it is all about anger. It is about rage. We are raging today, not in the positive or the pleasant sense of raging, but I did a TikTok live video this week and somebody said, will you please just do a whole video on when I get angry or when my partner gets angry and what do we do with our mad? And so I kind of use Mr. Rogers, one of his lines or one of his paraphrases that I love that says, it's okay to be mad, but it's what we do with our mad. And so today's episode is all about what do we do with our mad? We're going to be looking at what does that mean for our brain and our body? What are some tools? And what does that mean in relationship? How do we handle mad and anger and rage when we're dating and when we're in a relationship? So won't you join me today on our episode at So My Mom's a Therapist. Well, welcome back, dolls. It is episode 30 of So My Mom's a Therapist podcast. You know, I was just reflecting back on the month and have really excited and very grateful to have some cool guests join me, Levi Washington and Trey Tucker, and very excited that they are both of them kind of signing on to become regulars, discussing different topics as well as answering your questions. Well, today we're going to be talking about anger. Anger, rage, being mad. Sometimes there's a little bit of sadness thrown in. But what do we do with our anger? I was actually doing a live video and someone said, will you please just do one on anger? Because sometimes I get so mad, I don't know what to do with my mad. So we're going to talk about that today. But before I get started, I have to tell you a fun experience I had over the weekend. I was at a country club. I love to play golf. I was at a new country club where I don't usually go. And actually, it happened last weekend, and I got to circle around with a girl this weekend, in full disclosure. But it was really fun because when I saw her this weekend, what had happened is there was a gal that worked at the club who, I guess, recognized me from TikTok, which it happens every now and then. And I think it's always fun because it's almost like I forget this part of my life. Just because I'm usually in my office and in my own little space or in my house. And so it's so fun when you guys come up or say hi. And so it's been very fun. But anyways, she was explaining, she said, I'm so sorry when I met you. Like she said, I was kind of like a deer in headlights. She's like, let's just be honest. Here at the country club, this is not really your TikTok crowd. And so when you rolled up in the cart, I wasn't really expecting to see somebody I knew from TikTok at a golf country club. And I was like, yeah, I could see that. I definitely could see that. And she was so sweet. So this is a shout out to Kaylee. You were so sweet. And she was very quick to say, you know, your videos have helped me so much. And I just said, oh, you know, we're all trying to figure out life, myself included. And I'm just, as we navigate it together. So if these videos, if the podcasts are helpful, great. I'm so happy to be a part of making life feel a little bit better for you guys. Or at least some sense of camaraderie of like, hey, we're all in this together trying to figure it out. And it's not always easy. On that note, I do want to introduce another resource to you guys. We've been working hard to get a stand store up, and it's going to be in the link in my bio on my TikTok. On my TikTok profile, in my YouTube profile, and on my Instagram, but it is a stand.store. If you Google, if you go on, it's going to be same name, So My Mom's a Therapist. But we're really excited because we have a free video for you guys up. It's a free video on how tips on how not to get ghosted. And if you're thinking, gosh, that doesn't sound like something you'd say, it isn't. But it's a good video with some great content that I really think is going to help you out in your dating and relationship. The other thing that we put up is a small video for purchase. What we're looking for are things for people that can't necessarily afford therapy or they haven't meshed with a therapist, but we still want to give you information that's not canned, information that really feels like you're just sitting on the couch with me. And so we have a video up right now that is three toxic traits that we do that sabotage our first dates. And I really think you're going to like that as well. So that's there. Again, we keep the price point really low, $10. I mean, basically, if you get like a venti Starbucks and add a few add-ons, it's same price. And you can always go back and watch it again or send it to a friend as well. All right. So with that aside, let's tackle our topic for the day, anger. Anger. I think there's a point we all of us have gotten angry or just even rage. Maybe we have felt in our body and we get so frustrated. We don't know what to do with our man. Well, Mr. Rogers, who a lot of I know in high schoolers these days, because I work with a lot of high schoolers and 20-somethings, they don't even know what he is. If you want to see a really good documentary, go watch the documentary on Mr. Rogers. But it was a show that was around. It was around even before I was a child. And one of the things that he does is Mr. Rogers had this children's TV show. And one of his phrases that I really like is he says, he's like, I'm paraphrasing him. I set out to teach kids it's okay to be mad. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be angry. It's what we do with our mad and it's what we do with our anger. And I love that. I love that mentality that he has. And I've really tried to adopt that into my practice, into my parenting. So we're going to start with that, which is like, it's okay to be mad. It's okay to be angry. We may not like the way it feels in our body. And so we're also going to talk about what to do with this. So the first step we're going to look at is let's understand what's going on in our brain and our body when we get mad. So that's going to be the first piece. The second piece is, okay, what do we do with our mad? That same piece Mr. Rogers said, okay, what are we going to do with our mad? Where are we going to point our mad? So we're going to be looking at some resources and tools of what to do with our mad. And then the third point we're going to cover today is how do we deal with mad in a relationship, whether it's dating, whether it is a long-term relationship, whether it's a marriage. We're going to be looking at mad in those settings, which, by the way, something nobody talks about. Dealing with frustration and mad when you're just getting to know somebody is a bitch. Can I just say that? Nobody talks about that because you're still trying to be on your best behavior, but you're pissed off about something and you're angry about something, or you're frustrated, but you're still trying to be like, hey, look at, I'm cool and I'm so fun. Don't you want to date me? And so we have this like middle ground. I mean, maybe we just need to do a whole video just on that piece right there, because that is a hard one. How do I handle when I'm upset and mad and I still am getting to know somebody? And there's this part of me that's like, no, like literally it's like we have this like multiple children inside of us. And this one voice is saying to the other parts of us, the other children, it's like, shut up, don't do it. Don't ruin it for us. And the other kids inside our body being like, no, but we're not okay over here. Did you see what they just did? Did you see, like, that is so not okay with us. I'm mad. I'm angry. And then we have another voice being like, shut up. He's cute. She's hot. Don't say anything. Right. And so we have that turmoil going on inside of us. Sometimes that angry and mad in the beginning of dating is one of the hardest things to navigate. So we're going to talk about that at the end as well. All right, so let's start with the first piece, which is what is going on in your brain and your body when you're mad? Well, I adhere to the trauma resiliency model. This is not my model. I am certified in this model. And let me explain to you what this model is. It is this idea of a zone. I've talked about it before. I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. I actually have done 3-day trainings. We actually won't go into India and we work with agencies there. We do three-day trainings just on that zone, just on managing that zone. So I'm going to condense it into a nutshell. But what we're really looking at here is this idea of when our body is regulated, it is in a parasympathetic nervous state, which means that we feel like it's manageable. It doesn't mean you're not angry or ticked, but that's where you're like, that's annoying, or gosh, that's frustrating, or like, gosh, I'm pretty upset, but you're still feeling like your brain is on top of it and it's manageable, right? When we've bumped out of our zone, and that's what usually people are talking about when they get mad, when we bump out of our zone, our nervous system switches into a survival state, a sympathetic nervous system state, which is a fight, flight, or freeze response. So when people get angry, they've bumped out high, right? When people get upset and they bump out low, that's where they're either going to shut down. Have you ever been with somebody? I mean, they are physically there, but mentally they have left the building. That is the bumping low. That's the bumping low. Like they are gone. You can feel it. It's almost like they had like a fortress where like the big barricade like came like wham, like came down. And you can feel it because like you just, I mean, they're shut down. And as much as you try to get in and engage with them, there is a sense of like either a flight or just an avoidance. There's a whole blockage there. But today we're going to talk more about the bumping up, the bumping high, that anger when I bump high out of my zone and I'm just fuming. So what happens is something trips our nervous system. Sometimes we know what it is. Sometimes we don't. Yes, we can go hunting for it, which is what a lot of my clients will be like, I need to figure out what happened there. I need to figure out why. Why did I get so upset? And that can be helpful. It can be helpful to understand like, okay, was my anger building up? Was it building up like a volcano where it's like, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine until I'm not fine. And then I blow. I mean, let's just be honest too. Everybody knows somebody who goes from 0 to 100. If I'm talking to you, can you think of somebody that comes to mind that you know goes from 0 to 100? I mean, one minute they're like fine, and the next moment it is like volcano just shot, like ceiling high, right? And so some people, whatever trips their body hasn't been able to cue into, ooh, there's a rumbling, there's something growing, and then all of a sudden it shoots high. Right. And so that's what happens there is sometimes our body and our brain can be like, we're good until we're not good. The other thing that adds to this, if there has been past hurts, frustration, anger that has not been resolved, it's like a clogged pipe. It's like a clogged pipe that's just like building up. Anybody from my generation, I'm going to rephrase that. Not just my generation. Because a lot of it, like my kids have seen, if anyone's seen the original Willy Wonka, the one with Gene Wilder, kind of creepy-ish kind of character, right? But if you've seen the original Willy Wonka, which I was obsessed with as a child, which therefore I had to make sure my children were obsessed with it too. But there is a scene when they're in the chocolate factory and the little boy, I'm trying to remember his name now, Augustus Glump or something like that. Anyways, he's so excited about the chocolate factory. Stick with me. There's a purpose to this. It ties into what I'm talking about. And he falls into the lake made of chocolate because he's trying to sip it up. And all of a sudden, his body makes its way over to this pipe. And this pipe leads the chocolate up to like the different parts of the chocolate factory. And anyone who's watched the video knows that this sweet little kid who's a little on the plump side, he goes up the tube and he gets stuck in the tube. And now the tube is clogged. The same thing happens in our body. And if I have all these things that have built up, and they're not big things, but they're big things that build up over time. So right when this kid Augustus gets stuck in the pipe, there's not a lot of pressure built up yet. But the longer he stays there and the more backed up it gets, if anyone knows the video, they're all standing there watching and the pressure builds and builds. And of course, Gene Wilder in his creepy-ish voice is like, it's astounding. And look at it's going to be like a gun going off or something like that. And anyways, enough pressure built up that this kid like shot up straight through the pipe like a gun going off. And the same thing happens in our nervous system. The same thing happens. So it's sense of like, if I haven't cleaned out that pipe of past hurts, it's clogged. And when something's clogged, it builds up pressure and builds up pressure and builds up pressure, which is another reason why if something very small sets you off with somebody, let's say in a relationship where they do something like breathe wrong or they left their clothes on the ground, it's not really about the clothes on the ground. It's about the pressure that's been built up for so long that it only takes a little bit more pressure and you just shoot out like a gun. So let's have first an understanding of this is what is going on in my body. Another side note, sometimes we like to say, oh my gosh, that's so not like me, right? What do I mean not like me? Because when we've bumped out of our zones, we will say and do things we would not normally say or do if we were in our zone. What do I mean? We will send an awful, nasty text of saying things we haven't. We will go off on a customer service rep. We will say and do things that is a fight or flight mode where we are not thinking. That prefrontal cortex, that front part of your brain is now offline. It's not working and you are working with the middle part of your brain. Your amygdala has sniffed out a threat. It is kicked into gear and that part of your brain that is like just throwing darts. I mean, you are just in full on like war zone. Like you are just hitting darts, right? You know, you're sending over the catapults, the big bombs going over. That's like, those are the big texts that you send. And again, that's a fight or flight mode. Now, keep in mind, we'll often think like in zone good, out of zone bad. Oh, that's not like me. That's so not like me. No, sweets. That's you. That is you. That's just you out of your zone. We don't like it very much. Right? So we tend to say in zone good, out of zone bad, rather than saying, oh no, can I have a little bit of grace for myself? We're going to work on it. I'm going to give you some tools today, but this is just me out of my zone. We need to start bringing in that part of us that's in survival mode and loving him or her just as much as the us that is in the zone that is behaving so well. We need to love all of us. If not, we will split ourselves down the middle and we will like when we are in control. We will hate when other people get out of control and be like, oh my gosh, can you believe what they did? And yet when it's us out of control, oh my gosh. Oh, then we hate the way that feels. We hate the way it feels. Rather than say, oh no, this is my sweet self out of my zone. Yep. And we're going to work on how do I bring back in my zone? How do I bring myself back in my zone? And that's the tools, right? The key though is that I have to, it comes from the nervous system. Right? So that's the psych ed of what's going on in your body. That's sometimes out why it builds up. Sometimes it can be a trigger. By the way, a trigger doesn't always have to be words. It literally can be a smell. It can be a facial tone, right? It can be a phrase. It can be anything that just sets us off, right? Walking into a room that reminds your body of something. Remember, because our bodies do not know time. All right. So now that we're bumped out of our zone, we need to work about how to get back in our zone. When I'm working with clients, I'll use, especially clients that are married and I'm working on it from a relational aspect, we will use the idea of a fire hydrant. So when Mr. Rogers says it's okay to be mad, I would say it's okay for your fire hydrant to go off. It's okay for your fire hydrant to go off. Where we need to point the fire hydrant, what Mr. Rogers said, what we do with that mad is what we got to work on. So first of all, can you give yourself permission? Now, if you had a parent that was angry or violent or rageful, we will often swing the other way. And so we will not allow ourselves to be mad at all. And the other thing is I would say, well, mad has to go somewhere. Even if it's not manifesting as mad, it will manifest in your body, which my guess would be there's a lot of digestive issues, passive aggressive behavior, because everybody needs to have a place for mad. But if mad was not safe in your home growing up, oftentimes we end up digesting and eating it, and it's going to leak out in different ways. The one thing I know about mad is if we don't find a way of getting it out, if we don't find a way of releasing the fire hydrant, it will stay in our body. It doesn't disappear, and it will leak out. It will leak out, and it will be destructive in your relationships and destructive in your life. And that I know for sure. And it's not a pleasant place to be either. Okay. All right. So what do we do? How do we work on pointing that fire hydrant? If you're somebody who when you go, your volcano shoots high. You're not just mad. You are like mad. Okay. This one I get. I mean, anybody who's Greek or Italian, if you got Mediterranean blood flowing through your body, you know, we used to be like, oh no, we're just passionate. Passionate means no, like we can get fired up. That's not us yelling. That's just the way we talk. This is how I grew up. You know, it wasn't until honestly I was in my 20s, my dad had quite a temper. He had one of the biggest, most generous hearts, but when he got mad, like you ran, you scattered, right? But I mean, up until I was in my 20s, I just thought that was part of being Greek. I was like, oh no, he's not. He doesn't have a temper. He's Greek. No. He had a temper. He didn't know what to do with his mad. He didn't know where to shoot his fire hydrant. So we got to say, where can I point it? So if you're someone that you go up really high, what I want to encourage you is it has to go through your body. When you are out of your zone, your brain is you don't have access to your brain. And your brain is where you strategize. Your brain is where you calm yourself down. Your brain is where you're able to, that prefrontal cortex, that front part of your brain is what I'm talking about. That's the part that does all your strategy, your strategic thinking, your logic thinking, and that's offline. So all those parts of you that would say to yourself, you are just fine. We will move through this. What do you want to say or do? All those things that are going to help you, those tools, we do not have access to those until we calm our body down. Okay, that's key. If you do not calm your body, your nervous system down first and get into a parasympathetic state, you will not have access to your brain to be able to calm yourself down with your words, which is why when in a relationship, that is going to be one of the biggest strategies is to be able to have a communication. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. See, I get so excited to talk about dating and relationships. All right, it's coming. So what does it look like to calm our nervous system down? Well, when you bump out high, for the most part, when you're in the zone, you've bumped out high, that means we need to get energy out of our body. It's a fire hydrant going off. If you've bumped out low, where you're really shut down or numb and not feeling anything, then we want to feel more into our body. So that would have been, if you've bumped out low, and we're not really going to get into it, but that would be more things like wrapping a blanket around myself, getting something soothing, right? Something that's very warm in my body, something that's, again, trying to bring energy and wrap myself back up. But when I've bumped out high, I need to get energy out of my body. So what are ways to get energy out of our body? So you, and this is where each of us have to build an individual tool belt, but I'm going to give you a lot of things to try. Now, try means, and experimenting means it's not success or failure. Experimenting means I get to say, does this work for me or does this not? Everybody's tool belt is different. So what I want you to do is to try it and then come back and be like, mama, that didn't work super well. Okay, here's another one. Then try that. Right. And when you're trying to take you, when we say if it works or doesn't work, it's not that it disappears. We're not looking for a miracle drug here that takes you from all the way up into 100 back down to zero. We're just saying, are there little things that we can do that take an edge off? That's what gets us back in our zone is take an edge off, ta 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 ta, until we eventually get back into our zone. So we want to say, even if it's like that worked 0.05, I'd say, great, put that in your tool belt. We have to have things that we can try. So here are some things that you can try. Things that get out the energy really quick are things like sprinting, going for a run. They're not all going to be athletic, so stick with me. Hitting a punching bag, right? Hitting a punching bag, sprinting. If you're somebody who doesn't have a lot of access to that, doing some planks. If you don't know what a plank is, it's like doing a push-up but holding it, not going up and down. Doing a wall squat, get on YouTube, Google what wall squats look like. That allows your body actually to feel some pain, but in a good way. Yoga poses, right? These are all things. When I was working with kids, I used to have them just push against a door as if they were trying to like move the whole door. Who are we keeping out on the other side of the door, right? And I remember a client saying, we're keeping out 100 screaming babies. She had a lot of babies in her family. And we would push and push and push on the door. Did we get them all out? Pushing on the door was her way of getting some of that energy out of her body. Okay. So how can I get physical energy out of my body? Another way you could do it is you could get on the phone and you need to have your person that you vent or rant to. I just need to call you and I just need to vent here for a second. And you need to be able to go off. You need to be able to swear. You need to be able to have like a trucker's mouth and say whatever you want, that motherfucker, blah, 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 blah. Like to be able to get it out of your body. What keeps us in that state, that fight state, that anger state is that because what happens? Let me explain to you what happens. There, when you fight, and you have anger coming out of you, we get a feel good from it. And now you may be thinking, no, it doesn't feel good to fight. Well, think about it for a second. After you've yelled and screamed and raged, then what? Your body feels like a balloon that's gone where all the air has come out. So your body gets a release by raging and being anger. So we need to find a release for our body. And again, the fire hydrant's coming out. We're just pointing it. So if that means I call a safe friend and be like, I just need to vent to for you to a second of what's going on so that they're hearing it and they're getting it. And that friend knows like, oh, yeah, I'm your place to vent. Go for it. Go for it, girl. You got this, dude. Just like vent away and they can hold that. Right. So that's another way of doing it. For some people, journaling and getting it down on paper, that does not work for me. That's not in my tool belt. But you have to figure out if you go right to meditation, then that we haven't dealt. We got to get the energy out first. Right. For some people, it is getting a cup of hot tea. It is putting on some music. I do. If you're looking at the video, I have a weighted blanket behind me. Sometimes it is that helps for some people, but you got to try it on. You have to try it on what works. Another thing a lot of people do is they will literally like go for a walk and they will shake their hands or they will scream or they'll get in their car. And here's another one. They'll play the music really loud and they will like almost like yell sing. Am I the only one who has done this? I'm just curious. Has anyone else done like the yell sing in their car where they have the music playing up super high? I don't know. For me, usually it's like Pink or Kelly Clarkson or like something that's like raging and I have to like kind of yell sing in my car. And that's another way of getting that fire hydrant out that is in a good way. For some people, it's getting in their car and going for a drive. Although I always say if you're raging, do not get that. The car is one I would want to make sure that's something that is getting your body calm, that we're not letting our anger out in our driving. So if you are somebody who is like a rageful driver, we're not going to put that in our tool belt. Okay. All right. So those are a few for you to try, but you have to look and see what works for me, what shifts. Now you may be thinking those are all simple things. Like I already know how to do that, but how often do you grab them? How often do you grab them? If not, you will grab your phone and you will take it out right on that at that person. So we're going to start with that. We're going to look at some resources that help knock down that level, that anger level, right? So I can share with you what's in my tool belt are things like that. I know I go for a hike. I go for a hike and I run down because there's something about running down a hill to me that makes me just like want to like fucking conquer the world. I don't know what it is. It's like the biggest high for me, but like sometimes that's what I just, and I need to get a good hike in or something that burns my legs a little. It's almost like I need a good pain and that's okay. Right. Another thing is I have my go-to people that I call and I vent to. And I'm just like, can I vent? Do you have a second? And I'll do it through text or I'll call them and getting it out of my head. Sometimes just getting it out of my head is what gives my body a lot of relief. Right. Okay. So that's another one. The other thing is I have a fire pit in my backyard. And so for me, grabbing a glass of wine and sitting by a fire pit is another way that for me works things out of my body. Right. You know, you may say like, are you suggesting like wine as like one of our resources? And I would say alcohol tends to fall under what we call questionable resource, meaning it can be helpful, but it also can go to being destructive if we are drinking too much. So anything in our tool belt, I don't demonize what's in our tool belt. We just say, okay, if I find myself running to alcohol over and over and over again, then I need to have other things in my tool belt as well. I had one client, by the way, we worked on this for her. She realized if I could just get the sip of alcohol, that's really what calms my body down. And so she literally would pour wine in her wine glass, pour it down the sink because she was realized I'm grabbing alcohol all the time. And she would just smell the glass and that would be enough. And then she started moving and she kept busy. We would get something else to put in her hand. Okay. Another thing, last one, and then I'm going to move on to our last point. Another thing you can try is if you bump out of your zone into a fight or flight, that fight mode, that anger, that rage, and you get stuck and you have a hard time coming down. Same thing with the anxiousness or like the fear or anxiety will fall in the same category. I will often have clients get a cold metal soda can and press it against their face, that really cold, almost painful metal, or get a bowl full of ice and put your hand into it. Sometimes our bodies get stuck out of the zone and we need to kind of pop, like we need to like jumpstart them and kind of like jump our body back, like kind of like, it's almost kind of just like kind of slapping our body out of that high state. So sometimes I'll do that. I'll grab a cold can and just put it against my face And almost that like, ooh, that like jarring shock helps like knock my body back down. Okay. So give those a try. If you're checking this out on YouTube, will you put in the comments which ones you found helpful? Maybe some I didn't list that you also found helpful as well. We really want to continue to create a community where we are supporting each other with different things to try. Okay, so the first piece today was, here's what's going on in our brain and our body when we get mad. It's okay to be mad. It's where we place our mad. The second part is, here's some ideas for you to try as you build your tool belt. Again, there's no magic tool. If you grab only one tool, that's not super helpful, because if that tool stops working, you have nothing left. Also, the tools that tend to be a one-tool tool belt are usually things that are more like alcohol and drugs or sex, or things that are, again, questionable resources. We're not judging them, but they can often hurt us more than they can help us in the long run. Okay, so now the last part. What do I do when I get angry at my partner and I go from 0 to 100, or I have a partner that gets angry? We want to create a community. We want to create a language with our partner. So this is not about the content. If you get stuck in the content, they did not pick up their clothes, you're not helping out with the kids as much, right? Or like, I see you're doing this on social media, right? We want to stay out of content right now, because if you get angry about content, when I say content, whatever the issue is, you're not serving your relationship well. Why? Okay, that's really key. I'm going to say it one more time. If you get stuck in the content every time, you're not serving your relationship well, because you need to address what's called metacommunication, the dynamic between the two of you that will serve your relationship. So when I'm working with clients here, yes, we'll look at a topic, but I'm not sitting in a topic. I'm looking at the dynamic between them. The how do we communicate, not what do we communicate? Because you can take out the dirty clothes and you can put in like they were inappropriate with maybe somebody of the opposite sex. It doesn't matter what you can shift and change that puzzle piece of what the content is, but the dynamic, the dance between the two of you is what really needs to be addressed. So my encouragement would be going back to a partner and being able to say, we need to work on when one of us bumps out of our zone, and I teach that language. So we can even say to our partner, like, and by the way, once you've bumped out of your zone, you're already gone. Like that prefrontal part of your brain is gone. So that's why you want to have these conversations when you are in a in-zone state. That's really important. Now, I have a lot of people that say, I don't want to have these conversations when I'm in an in-zone state because we're doing good. Why would I want to bring up our hard times when I'm in a good place? And I'd say, no. I know that is so hard. I know that's so tough, but it's for the better in the long run, it's for the best of your relationship. So one of the things you want to have a conversation is about, say, okay, let's just recognize that like one of us or both of us, when we get mad, we bump out of our zone, and teach your partner that language. And then you want to be able to bring it in. And the thing I'm going to have you start paying attention to the first is to say, can I tell when my volcano is more at a low rumbling? Your brain will not pick up on it, especially if you have a big trauma history. Your brain's not going to pick up on a low rumbling. It will override that really quickly. Why? Because it's learned that that isn't the big threat. Right. On the flip side, there are some people who have a hypersensitivity in other people where you can pick up on if somebody else is not doing well. That's different. So I'm going to say that again, because this is key. If you have a huge trauma history, when your body is not doing well, it will override it. It'll actually think it's fine. And your body won't know that it's upset until you're already like volcano lava shooting out everywhere. But when it comes to cueing into other people, we tend to have a hypersensitive nervous system that you'll be able to pick up on a lot of cues way before they even know something's wrong with them. So that's why you'll often be the partner that's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And they're like, I'm fine. And you're like, no, you're off, right? And they may just be tired, or they may be off, but your brain, your amygdala, the part of your brain that is there to sniff out potential threat, is going to be a hyper attuned amygdala. And so you're going to pick up on that in your partner. So one of the things you can do with yourself, though, going back to your own body, I want you to start paying attention to if you can start to tell low grade rumbling, things that you go, oh, that's not that big of a deal. If you find yourself saying, ah, it's not a big deal, or it's fine, if you're in your brain hearing yourself say it's fine, I want you to pause and go back to the it's fine. Is it fine? What's going on there? Is there anything we want to do or say? Right? So that's the one thing I would encourage you is see if you can get to that lower grade rumbling. Now, what if you're with a partner and one of you is already blown out of your zone? Well, if it's you, then my encouragement would for you to come back and say, we can talk about this, but I've got to get back in my zone first. And if you are somebody that says, we'll talk about it, but I can't talk now, it drives your partner crazy if you don't put a time. Because what often happens is, if oftentimes, let's just own this one, Let's just own this one, dolls. If we are that partner that says, I can't talk about this now, we often don't circle back around. Can I just say that? And some of you are listening to this being like, oh, that's my partner. They say, I can't talk about it now because they're so upset, but then they don't circle back around. And so if you are on the other side of that, your body's being like, I never get it resolved. We never get to talk about it. And by the way, that's the clog that keeps happening in the pipe, is because things don't get resolved. They don't get talked about. They just almost get like cut off as if they never happened. Right? So when there is a sense of like, we don't talk about things, right? It's like having a hand that is in all this pain. And when somebody just like cannot talk about it, it's like chopping off the hand as if it did not exist. And now they're like, and then when next time you see them, they're like, fine, they're good. That's avoidance. That is more of an avoidant attachment, meaning I just disappear. Right? So there's a difference between avoidant attachment and I disappear and regulating my body. That's a key piece a lot of people don't talk about. Avoidant attachment means that's a flight response, and that means I don't come back, right? That's different than I need a moment to be able to regulate my body and get myself back in my zone so that I can engage. So here's the pattern that needs to happen. If I am upset and I am blown out of my zone, I need to come up with language with my partner to be able to say, I'm out of my zone. Give me a second to get back in my zone, and I'm going to circle around. By the end of this evening or within an hour, put a time limit so your partner knows you will circle back around. That's important. Your partner needs to know you're going to circle back around, or it has the potential of like triggering an abandonment trigger in the other person, especially again, if there's a lot of trauma. If you say, I need some space to figure this out, and you don't circle back around, or you don't say, I'm going to reach out, or look, we're going to address this in an hour, or we'll address it this evening. Right? Because if you don't do that, they feel like they've lost you, and that bumps their nervous system way out of its zone. Right? That piece right there is often what happens in the beginning of a relationship. When you are dating, this, remember when I started talking about this, and you're trying to be on your best behavior, and you're trying to bring up something you're upset about, and it's new, and so you don't know how the person's going to navigate it. And so we want to, this part in a new relationship, we want to be able to start to say, okay, when I'm upset, how do I address it? How do I handle it? Or if I'm blown out of my zone, I need to be able to say to this person I'm dating, hey, this really upset me, but I think we both need to calm down, or I need to calm down, and then I want to circle back around to this. Now, you may be thinking like, oh my gosh, there's no way I would say all that. Why? Because I'm over here trying to be the cool girl. I'm like trying to be the cool guy who doesn't bother them. And I said, well, if you do that, then you're not going to be honoring what's going on in your body, and it will leak out, and your body will sabotage you. You'll start making little comments. You'll start making snide remarks. So let's see your partner on the phone, and let's say like they do something on their phone, like maybe they're like laughing, or you see them texting, maybe messaging someone on Instagram, somebody that's like, let's say, you know, somebody of the opposite sex or somebody you think they may like, and you try not to address that in your body, and it will leak out. It'll leak out in little remarks. It'll leak out in your tone. It'll leak out in your body language. So my encouragement would be able to say, you know, I just really got bumped out of my zone. Or if it feels at that point like we're still in our zone, we can ask ourselves, what do we want to do or say? Do I want to address it in this situation, or do I need a moment to calm down? Right? So if we're bumped out of our zone and already out of our zone, we have to shift our nervous system back into a regulated state, back into a parasympathetic state. Then I can go back up and I can address the issue. So when I say I need a moment to calm down, that's not me avoiding the issue. It's me taking the break I need to shift my body back into a regulated state. That is the crucial part of conflict with couples. Because if you try to have a conversation when you're blown out of your zone, if you bump out of your zone, they're going to bump out of their zone, and then you're going to go bump, 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 bump all the way up, right? The other part, if there's that avoidant, the issue's not dealt with, then you're going to be just like Augustus in that chocolate factory, in that pipe, building up pressure over and over and over again until you guys literally go skyrocket high because you've never dealt with things as they come up. You want to keep the pipe clean. You want to keep the pipe clean. That way, if something's bothering you or you're upsetting you, if I learn how to address it, then it keeps it small. What makes for people bumping out big is when the pipe has been clogged and clogged and clogged. So the best way to avoid having big rage or big anger is to keep the pipe clean. That's why when most couples come in for marital counseling, I'm looking at years, sometimes decades of a clogged pipe. So it doesn't take much. And the first thing I say to them, will it always look like this? I believe it won't. I believe we can work at it, but it took you 10 years to get here. So this is something that doesn't change overnight. That's a big, that's a very big clogged pipe. And we want to keep the pipe clean. So I want to be able to address those things. So you can either say, well, I don't want to do that. Then I'd say, okay, that'll work until it doesn't, because your pipe will get clogged. So we have to, and let me explain to you why our pipes get clogged. It's a funny phrase. Yes, I know. I know it's a funny phrase, but yes, we're just going to leave it at that. And, but what goes on is our body does, if you do not address what you're angry and upset about, then your body feels like you are not being a voice to it. So it's like having a child and you not protecting that child. It's like having a child who, let's say, a teacher mistreated in school, and you as a parent not going in there and being like, hey, this was really not okay. This is what's good. This, I'm hearing this from my child. This is how we're feeling right now. What's going on? So we need to be a voice to ourselves, as if we have a small child in us that needs a voice. Now, if you try to be a voice when you're not in a regulated state, that's where we get angry and we rage. So our goal here, again, here's the pattern, is I have to be able to say to my partner, right? Or teach my partner, look, I know you, if it's my partner that's raging, look, I know you're upset. I think we need to take a few moments. Let's calm ourselves down. Maybe do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to hop on the treadmill? What is it you want to do to calm yourself down? And then we can address it. But if we try to address it right now, we are going to get stuck. I use the analogy, you will get in a traffic jam. Have you ever seen in the movies like a traffic jam where they have all four and they're all honking their horns and you will get stuck in a traffic jam? If you try to address the issue and you are bumped out of your zone, one or both of you are bumped out of your zone, you will get nowhere. I'm going to say that again because it's super important. If you try to address the issue and you are already bumped out of your zone, or they're bumped out of their zone, or you both are, you are in a traffic jam and you are just going to keep butting the fronts of your car together and you are not, and honking your horn, and you will get nowhere. So you need to back your car out, take a few breathers, take some time to regulate your body, get your body calmed down a little bit more, and then try to go back into the intersection again. That's the goal here. That's what we're going for. Okay. Not easy. Not easy. Now, there are techniques that we can use to help it so that it doesn't bump fully out of our zone. And I'm going to give you one of these as we're wrapping up. So one of the things I use, and I use this in my personal life, is I can start to tell when I work on keeping that pipe fully clean. So if something bothers me, again, it's not everything bothers me, but sometimes I say to myself, like, okay, are we good? Because I got to be able to self-regulate and co-regulate. Right? Am I okay? Am I okay just going for a run? Do I need to say something? Do we not? And again, I'm staying in tune with that part of me that feels, do I need to protect myself? Do I need to stand up for myself and say something? And once I've come to the conclusion that I want to say something, I'll often use words like this, like, oh, that didn't feel super great. Or I'll say, you know, I missed not getting a text from you today. Right? And I'll say something like, that doesn't feel super good. And that makes my body feel like I'm addressing what's going on. So it may seem like the way that you can do that is by doing track backs. You know, when you do this, and this is a good one for the beginning of a relationship. You know, when you go MIA on me for 24 hours, or you just don't text me at all, that doesn't feel super great in my body. No, I'm not asking or obligating you to text. I mean, I want to be with somebody who wants to text me or wants to talk with me. But when you do that, that doesn't feel super great in my body. So I'll start by using those phrases as a way of keeping that pipe clean. And also by my body goes like, what? Thank you. Thank you for expressing what's going on in us. Because if I didn't say that, I would be in here, I'd be like stewing. And that's when we get more reactive. Fine. Then I don't want to see you. Fine. Then, you know, I'm not going to text you. Right? Oh, we have reactive responses. So our choice is we either have reactive responses, which end up being like, again, bumping people out of their zone, going up, 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 up. Then we're fight, 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 fight. And then we don't get anywhere. Or I can start doing track backs. You know, when you are hanging out with that group of friends and I'm not invited, it doesn't feel super great. It doesn't feel really good in my body. And I don't think it ever will feel super great in my body. That's a way of being able to say, hey, this is just how I feel. Right? And I'm addressing it before it becomes some big thing in my body. And if I let those go, that's what builds over time. All right. So I gave you a lot of information. I hope that helped a little bit. If you guys have any questions coming off of this episode, please send them to podcast@somymomsthetherapist.com. We switched that up a little bit now that we have a domain name. Also, as always, check out our YouTube. I would encourage you to sign. We have a lot of shorts, a lot of new material going up on YouTube and Instagram @somymomsthetherapist on both. And as always, dolls, be kind to people. Oh, you have no idea what they're going through. You know, after doing this job as long as I have, you have no idea people's stories. We have no idea why people do what they do and the stories they've been through. So be kind to people. And I'd encourage you, especially this summer, to look around and say, what is one thing I can do for somebody else? You know, I'm going to even say this is your challenge this week. Can you do it for a stranger? You know, next time you're in Trader Joe's, can you pick up one of their $5 bouquet of flowers and just hand it to somebody coming out of the store? Or going into Starbucks, can you hold a door open for somebody or tell them they look beautiful? I'm going to encourage you to do it for a stranger. And now for some of you, my introvert friends, I know this is killing you. I know you're like, nope. Then I'm going to encourage you just to do it low level. By the way, it's walking through being uncomfortable. Don't wait for it to be comfortable. If you do, it's not comfortable for any of us, even us extroverts. Even as I'm cashing out at Target, can I just ask the lady as she's ringing it up, how's your day going? Ah, there you go. There's one that's already built in. All right. So give it a try. Let me know what you think. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye, dolls.